Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Happy New Year, Stephen.
Happy New Year, Ed.
Very good to see you.
We're a quarter of a century in.
It's a bit shocking. Where did the years go, Stephen? Where do they go? So, we are recording. It is mid-January, I guess 20th of January. So, I guess we're already almost 3 weeks into the year. So,
yep, we're 3 weeks into the year, and it's like a flashback, isn't it? Because you Americans are going to have a new president in an hour or so.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm more focused on other upcoming events, Stephen, not least my trip to the UK next week. Okay. So this episode, I guess, will come out. As this episode comes out, I will be in the UK making my way to Edinburgh, I guess, for GeoMob Edinburgh, which I'm looking forward to quite a lot. We have a lot of signups, and it looks like it'll be a great event. And then the following day, I'm going to hop on the old Caledonian Sleeper and come back to London and be there for GeoMob London, which will be on Thursday.
Brilliant.
So, where we have a very good lineup. We actually have six speakers, which is, you know, normally we aim for 4 to 5. This time there were so many good talks and volunteers that I didn't want to leave anyone out. But so we have six. So, to include Mark from the Overture Maps Foundation.
Which will be great to have him there talking to us. Lots of OpenStreetMappers will be there, and I'm sure they're going to have questions for him. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Big GeoMob. And so what else have we got happening in January?
Some big news from the OpenCage front. We have moved our company, first of all, legally. We have moved our company to Berlin. So we are now based in Berlin. Last week we were at the notary to get that done. That was necessitated by the fact that previously we had been in Hanover and where Mark Tobias, my colleague, is based, but he has moved. So we can no longer be based in Hanover, and so now we're based in Berlin. So we're in the thick of things there. And in fact, we have a GeoMob Berlin coming up on February 12th. So looking forward to that. We still need a few speakers for that. So if anyone out there wants to volunteer, please get in touch. But I'm confident we'll get together a good lineup. So, but the other big news is that this week we are going into kind of public beta with the new service that we've been developing. Which I think I talked about on the podcast here back in November or so when I called for kind of testers. But basically a service to let you upload a spreadsheet to do geocoding via spreadsheet. So you can upload your spreadsheet with addresses or coordinates, and we geocode it for you and let you kind of, you know, through a kind of very simple online interface, click what data you want to have. This is an interesting product because it's a kind of a new target group. This is, whereas until now we've only been targeting software developers who could use an API. This is, let's say, more people who are more live in the realm of Excel or things like that. So,
and it's a really nice service, I've got to say. I was one of those early testers, and having built some of this stuff decades ago, it's a nice service.
It is hard, Stephen. It is hard because, you know, you really, I have to say, what I've seen in the past weeks as we've been testing it with people, and you really look into someone's soul when you see how they organize their Excel file. And some of these, sometimes it's dark. It's really dark what you find in there. I mean, it is unbelievable how insanely people organize some of their data. Nevertheless, we do the best we can, and we try to fight our way through it and help them and geocode it for them. But honestly, it is a challenge because you know, we already have this challenge with the API of, like, you know, people just want to use it. They don't really want to read any documentation. But I would say now we're even more farther down the spectrum of people who don't want to be bothered with any details. They just want to stick a file in there. But whew. And the problem is, I have to say, you know, over the last years, I guess, also especially with the rise of things like ChatGPT or whatever, I mean, people just expect the computer to magically figure things out.
Yeah.
So we had a guy, this guy uploads a file. He has a column that is labeled, postcode, and it has 5-digit postcodes, and he wants us to geocode them. And he gives us no hint which country these postcodes might be from. None. Zero. So, you tell me, Stephen, how am I supposed to make sense of that?
Pretty difficult, because there's 5-digit postcodes.
No, and there are like 20 countries that have 5-digit postcodes.
Exactly.
So, things like that. But that's why, you know, people just have their data organized in crazy ways, or very incomplete, or, you know, no column headers, giving us no hint as to what it might mean, or obviously all kinds of, you know, these people are from all over the world, so the column headers are in all different languages and all these kinds of things. So it's a continuing milestone on our journey into the realm of bad data.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess the audience for this are not really data people.
No, I mean, it's anyone with a spreadsheet, really. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's that's a pretty big audience, as you can guess. So, yeah. So anyway, that is now in beta. So I do invite all of our listeners to if you've got some spreadsheets of data, you can come and do that. With the free trial, we let you do 100 rows of geocoding. And then if you need more, you can, of course, purchase a plan and become a customer, which I would welcome. That's the main thing we've been working on by far so far this year.
Well, congratulations on getting as far as you have with it.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Very little. Tiny little bit of news. I went just before Christmas. Tim Marshall, who's written the books Prisoners of Geography, Geography, who's a great, great author.
Well, he gave a lecture or a book reading or something.
He gave a lecture at the Royal Geographic Society. And I went along to that. And encouraged by my pals who are already fellows of the Royal Geographic Society,
you know what, Stephen? We should get. It would be interesting to have a GeoMap talk from someone at the Royal Geographic Society. Like, what is the Royal Geographic Society? Something like that. So maybe if you have a contact there, we can get.
Okay. Well,
get someone to come on board.
I'm one of the newest fellows of the Royal Geographic Society, having become a fellow at the beginning of January.
Congratulations. Is that a membership that you purchase, or you have to be nominated to be a fellow?
It's both. You have to pay. You have to pay a membership fee, but you have to be proposed by a fellow, and you have to meet some criteria, and you have to provide some evidence that you...
All right.
Meet
very nice.
These sort of, I don't know, I wouldn't call them loose criteria, but you have to have worked in geography and have made some contributions to be.
Well done. Why don't you get someone here on the podcast to tell us what it's all about? But
I'll take that on board and try and do that, because it would be an interesting thing. Yeah, it's a great organization. You know,
well, I always see the events publicized, and they do look great.
They're great events. They have these Monday night lectures, you know, and they're all sorts of people. But the thing is that this is a society that's been running for hundreds of years, and it was all the exploration of sort of south and parts of South America and Africa and the Arctic and all of that. All of those expeditions sort of came out of the Royal Geographic Society. So, you know, it's got a lot of history. And then at the beginning of this year, Ed Parsons was talking, which was cool. You know, I mean, he had a good talk about navigation and stuff and how we're all navigators now. So, yeah, that was my bit of geo news. And if you're not a member of the Royal Geographic Society, it's certainly worth looking at their program and thinking about coming along to an event or something.
Okay.
And next time you're in London on a Monday night, I'll take you to an RGS lecture as my guest because I'm a fellow and I can take
it. All right. Well, yeah, we'll have to do that. Not this coming visit, but in the future. Definitely. Right.
Apart from that, massive number of maps in the wild over Christmas. We sort of doubled and trebled our output because we had so many nice things to share with people over the holiday. So that was cool. And one of them was a half hemisphere woolly hat. So it's half the globe.
So it was a globe and then it got cut in half to make it a lampshade or something? Or
no, to make it a woolly hat. It's knitted. It's knitted.
Okay.
Okay. So lots of people saw this and got really...
I saw your post about this. Yeah, I did see the discussion. Yeah.
And lots of people said, oh, I want one of those, right? And the only way you can get one of those is to have somebody knit one for you.
Right.
So, and the first stage to having one knitted is to get the pattern, which I now have the pattern.
Okay.
Or to be precise, Donna now has the pattern.
Obviously, the last thing you want is a geographic error.
Well... At the moment, she's looking at this pattern and thinking it looks very, very difficult. But we'll see. And in fact, what I can commit to doing, Ed, is giving you periodic progress reports on the podcast on the creation of this hemisphere.
Please do. And obviously, ultimately, you'll be modeling this at an event.
Obviously, yes. Hopefully, it will be finished before the summer when it will become too hot to wear the hat. But we'll see.
Okay.
So that's my news. So there's been loads of announcements in geo in the last month or so, haven't there? I mean,
there's been quite a bit of news.
Yeah. So where should we start? Should we start with? I think the first one was Foursquare's open places or open source.
Yeah. So I think this was back in December. Foursquare announced the release of all their data, their POI data. Which many people really welcome this, but actually it feels like now there's been a bit of a hangover. Lots of people have been kind of criticizing the data, actually saying that it's not very good, and not particularly usable, and lots of duplicates and lots of there was a very interesting post where someone had. He had plotted it on a map, the location of the POI. It was very interesting. There was an empty box around Null Island, you know, where they had obviously said, like, okay, anything around here is an error, so we're not going to let you put things in there. But then you could very clearly see everything just outside of the box, which was also still just in the middle of the ocean. I mean, this is the real question. What is better, to have no data or to have bad data? I think you can make the case that no data is better.
I think I agree. That's an interesting point. And I don't want to accuse Foursquare of dumping their crap out as open source so that people will then fix it and they'll then pick it up again and reuse it. But, you know, certainly taking bad data and just chucking it out there and saying it's open is doing nobody any favors.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's another, you know, it's another point of reference that you can use. And, you know, if you have, maybe the counterpoint would be if you have three or four bad data sets and you kind of try to corroborate each against the other, you can somehow glean some point of trust out of that and say, you know, if all four of them agree that there's something here, you know, if there's a McDonald's at this location, then maybe there is actually a McDonald's there. But you don't know because, you know, is the bad data from one data set, did that just originate in the other data set? You know, and they all kind of infected each other. And
if you just take McDonald's as a restaurant chain, right? If you get four data sets with McDonald's in a similar area, but each one of them is spelt differently. So one's MAC, one's MC, one's McDonald, and one's McDonald with an apostrophe, and one's a plural, or something like that. You know, I mean, if you get all of those obvious mistakes that you're quite possible you'll get with different data sets, particularly if they're crowdsourced, and most of the place data sets are at least partially crowdsourced. How do you even start to work out which one?
Well, that's just it. That's just it. I mean, is this even, you know, Stephen, as the owner of a small business with limited resources, one thing I spend a lot of time thinking about is like, is this even a good game to be playing? Is that even a project worth embarking on? You know, in that, or are you just better off just saying, look, we don't have that data, and we don't, you know, it's so error prone. And you know, this was also the one of the comments about Overture's POI data set. Also, there was a lot of junk with it because it originally come from Facebook, which, you know, ultimately the same source is it's user generated data, you know, and people just put in all kinds of garbage and it's user generated data, particularly in the, I mean, obviously you can say the same thing about OpenStreetMap, but the point is both of these cases, Foursquare or originally Facebook Places or whatever it was called, you know, there's a strong incentive for people for business owners to just get data in there in any way, shape or form to kind of, you know, I don't want to say spam people, but effectively kind of spam people or, you know, so whether it's maliciously done or just human error, I don't know, but there's a lot of garbage. At least with Overture, I think there was some element of kind of timeliness where you got a timestamp and, you know, so you could at least say like, okay, exclude anything over a certain age or a certain quality score or whatever. But I don't know if that's also the case with Foursquare.
I don't know. I think, of course, it's possible for business owners to spam the data set or whatever you want to call it. But is that really a very common problem? I mean, it's a theoretical problem and you'll find examples of it. So it's more than just theoretical, yeah. But I'm just not sure. I think there's a lot of human error involved in doing these things.
I think it may be human error, yeah. Or maybe just...
Yeah. I mean, look, Google, you know, with, you know, on the GME side, you know, when, you know, they work with Google Maps and they work, use Google Places quite a lot. Some of their clients use Google Places. That data set is quite a high quality data set.
Okay.
You know, I mean, partly because if you've got millions of people a day using your Places data set, and you've got a feedback mechanism built into your apps, which Google certainly do have, then you do get feedback about stuff that's not there or stuff that's closed and all of that. It's not perfect, but it's exactly the same principle as OpenStreetMap. You know, it's many eyes seeing something.
Yeah, but for example, I mean, when did I hear this? You know, the case of where the guy... You know, one business got all their employees to report their competitors' shops as being closed.
Oh, right. Okay.
Things like that, you know, where you do have an economic incentive to kind of corrupt the data, right?
But you have, you know, even in OpenStreetMap, you know, you don't have to be a big deal. You just have to create an account in a dummy email name. And you can go in and delete a load of points of interest as well. You know.
No, it's true. It's true. Yeah. I mean,
anything that relies on user eyes confirming a point of interest is vulnerable to those sorts of spamming. You know, you just, unless you've got a team of employed people walking the streets recording what's on the high
street. Yeah, but how could you? I mean, that's just it. You can't.
You can't do that. It's not sustainable. Anyway, so we've got open places from Foursquare. I was never a Foursquare person, were you?
Well, we've talked about this. I was a Foursquare person, but for certain types of things, I thought it was a fun thing. I have seen that the founder of Foursquare is working on something new, some sort of new location-based service. So I'll keep my eyes on that. Maybe a story that will develop over the course of the year.
I think it was somewhere there was a clever idea in Foursquare at the beginning, and it was different and it got an enormous buzz. I'm just not sure that they ever worked out how to make money out of it, but they're still going, so...
Well, you know, Dennis, the founder, I actually have been tracking him since I've never met him. He's someone I would like to get here on the podcast because this guy has very clever, creative ideas, particularly around the interface of geography. And since even well before smartphones, I mean, he was a student in New York. And I remember I came across this blog post or something where he built this game. It was like a Pac-Man type game that you played on the grid of Manhattan. So, but this was before smartphones. So you did it kind of by SMS. Like you would kind of go to a corner and you'd say like, oh, I'm on the corner of, you know, 4th and whatever, 4th and 37th. And that would get pinged in, and then there was a master board at headquarters that would kind of show where the ghosts were and where the, and it was called Pac Manhattan. And it's super clever and creative. And you know, and then later you start Foursquare and stuff. So, I think anything that he's working on is well worth keeping an eye on in terms of just kind of creativeness. So what else we have, Stephen? What other news?
Well, I've just thought of something that, before we go on with the serious stuff, have you looked at Scrambled Maps?
Which one?
Scrambled Maps.
I don't think I have, no.
Okay. You're not going to thank me for this, because if you want to find a way to lose time, go and have a look at Scrambled Maps. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You get a random city, and you get a map of that city fairly zoomed in.
I think I have seen this. And then you have, and then piece by piece, you have to...
You have to drag the piece. You get one piece the right place. Right. Donna and I are absolutely obsessed with it at the moment.
No, I'm thinking of another one. There was another one I saw where it starts, it shows you one tile. And it said there's a timer, and it shows you one tile, and then every couple seconds there's an additional tile, and you have to try to guess the city, you know, as quickly as possible based on the limited set of information. Also a very fun game.
Yeah, so this is really fun. We've been playing it a lot. I'll give you the link to put in the podcast notes because it's a lot of fun. Have a go at it. But back to serious stuff. It's been a good month for OpenStreetMap, hasn't it?
Financially it has, yeah, apparently. Several big donations announced.
Yeah.
Which is very good. One from Meta, which is great to see.
178,000 euros.
Yep.
That's a chunk of change.
Well, I guess we got to see it relative to the size of the company, but yes, of course. Obviously, thank you. That's wonderful.
It's more than the bar bill at a Geomob.
It's more than the bar bill at a Geomob. It's less than their contribution at the Trump inauguration. How about that?
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Yeah.
So, No, but the other, I think, is also more interesting, a thing called...
the Sovereign Tech Fund.
Right, exactly, which is ultimately funded by the German government. So as a German taxpayer, I'm pleased to see that. And that's going to go for work on software development.
But I think it's particularly focused on unglamorous plumbing and code
maintenance
and stuff like that, which is really good, because problem with all open source projects, you know, is
very needed.
Yeah, it's easy to get, well, not easy, but it's common to get donations to add a feature or a capability, but to upgrade sort of the background stuff, you know, replace stuff is...
I guess what would be interesting is how these donations came about, which I really don't know, but are we starting to see a more concerted effort by the Mystery Map Foundation to kind of, you know, interact with these large donors and try to have this be a more regular thing, which I, for one, would be for, although I do know that there are some voices in the community that are kind of against that, but...
Yeah, quite loud voices.
Well... Well, anyway, it's good news. So...
I think it's good news. I think it's exciting news. And I think if the foundation board or people close to the board have been reaching out to gather these sort of funding opportunities, congratulations to them. It's, in my opinion, long overdue. And it's probably, maybe it's a reaction or a response to the arrival of Overture.
I don't know. I mean, Facebook, you know, Meta is obviously a big contributor to Overture, so...
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool that the German government fund... You know, they're not. It's not. This is not just funding OpenStreetMap. They have similar grants to other large open source projects, yeah, and things like that, and kind of creating the digital infrastructure that society needs. So I think it's great. It's cool. Well, I guess, Stephen, this is an appropriate time for us to say that with the new year, we would welcome any new GeoMob sponsors who want to come on board.
And you don't have to have 178,000 euros.
No, that's right. That's right. We're much cheaper. So, I would be very happy with half that, you know, or in seriousness, much less.
I was going to say you could be a major sponsor for 1% of that.
Well, the issue is, actually, we have had some bad news in Barcelona, in that our sponsor, it was my own company, OpenKitch, but also a company called Rocobun. And unfortunately, basically, Rocobun is no longer. Right before Christmas, they announced the kind of winding up shop. So that kind of falls away. So, anyone in Barcelona who wants to get in touch, or any other city, you know, the need is there. So come on down and get on board.
Yeah, and as a personal sponsor of GeoMob, somebody who's got no commercial, you know, I can't make any claim that there's a commercial benefit from sponsoring GeoMob. It's just a good thing to do.
It is a good thing to do.
No, what I wanted to say was, you know, it's very affordable if you want to consider being a personal sponsor of GeoMob, that we would love to have you on board.
Well, maybe we need to make some sort of GeoMob fellowship, Stephen, where people can become a member or supporter, things like that. I don't know. Well, to think about it. I was going to wait until after next week when we have the events in Edinburgh and London, and then kind of take stock again and see where we are on the financial side of things for this year.
Okay. But it might be worth, with a large audience of people, just mentioning the opportunity to become a person.
Because when we talk about sponsorship, I will mention it to everyone.
When we talk about sponsorship, we're normally thinking about companies who sponsor so that they can get their logo appearing somewhere and they get a bit of sort of kudos by association with GeoMob, which is fine. And we love those guys and we appreciate them. And, you know, all of those sponsors, thank you, thank you, thank you. What I'm saying is, if you're an individual who doesn't necessarily have a business interest in sponsoring GeoMob, there's still an opportunity to become a sponsor and a supporter of GeoMob.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do an episode maybe in 6 weeks or whatever, going deeper on the sponsorship
topic. Okay, so. Fine. We had one last thing on our list of things to talk about because there's been so much going on, which is, and maybe Mark Priolo will talk about this a little bit when he comes to GeoMob in London, but beginning of January, Overture launched a transport data set, which is, you may say, so what? But the whole, I think the essence of what they're doing is creating this structured, consistent data set, which has common attribution across the world and things like that. And the fact that they've now got a version of their transport layer that they're ready to release is progress in that direction. And I think it'll...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to his talk next week in London to give us an update. But obviously there has been a very kind of steady drumbeat of news coming out of Overture, also with publishing more data sets, publishing them more frequently, hiring. I've seen they have a couple of open positions or have filled positions and things like that. So it does seem the momentum is slowly but steadily building. So we'll get the update next week. I'm very curious about it. So
yes, look forward to that. Okay, so I think we're done, aren't we?
I think that's it. Let's get 2025 going, Stephen. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone this coming week in Edinburgh, in London. We have a lot of signups for the London event. Not quite as big as the one we had in September, the OpenStreetMap one, but let's see. There's still a couple days to go, so okay. I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Look forward to it.
See everyone there.
See you next week. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.